Welfare, not warfare.
Thanks. I'm going to hand over to our next speaker. So Ms. Sarah Haddad is a Lebanese-Australian writer who lives and works on Gadigal land. She's the author of The Sunbird, and she hopes that one day all Palestinians will be free to return to their homeland and live freely without fear. Please welcome Sarah.
Thank you. Before I begin, I also acknowledge that I stand here on unceded Aboriginal land and pay my respects to elders past and present. I'm an editor and a writer who has been working with words for 35 years. But over the last 18 months, as I have watched Israel's genocide of Gaza, its accelerated ethnic cleansing of in the West Bank, and its bombing of Lebanon and Syria, I have never been more attuned to the power and the inadequacy of words. I have seen how words have been weaponized against people who speak up for justice and human rights. People across the spectrum of our community victimized for telling the truth. I have seen how conflation of criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism has been weaponized for political ends in service of a genocide, so that those who speak out are punished and others who witness these acts of reprisal learn to self-censor. I have seen how words have been crafted by Universities Australia in a new definition of anti-Semitism that is designed to stop academics, students, and other university staff from criticizing Israel. Universities were once bastions of free speech and fearless debate, and are now apologists for an ethno-supremacist apartheid state. Their campuses have become sites of fear and repression. I have watched on social media words destroyed as Israeli forces have burnt libraries and obliterated schools and universities. I have watched Palestinians burning their own precious books because they are the only source of fuel left. I have listened to the words of Palestinian children who in November 2023 held a press conference in English, not their first language, pleading with the world for help. I have watched as their words disappeared into a vacuum. I have seen the use of weasel words from our government and other politicians who will not condemn Israel's war crimes, nor uphold international law by adhering to the rulings of the ICC and the ICJ. In failing to take appropriate action, our government, in collusion with other governments around the world, has allowed Israel to act with impunity. Their silence has created a new world, one in which it is acceptable to brazenly kill tens of thousands of children, to bomb hospitals, schools, universities, places of worship, bakeries, cemeteries, and playgrounds. A world in which it is acceptable to slaughter journalists for reporting the truth and to execute doctors, nurses, and paramedics. I have seen how Israel repeatedly uses the same words to justify the unjustifiable. Words like self-defense and hostages, to name two. I have heard the world parrot these words so that Israel can continue its systematic annihilation of an entire people and to use collective punishment and starvation as a weapon of war, which the world collectively agreed to ban in 1949. I have heard words that were once unsaid being said out loud. Israel and the United States are telling us that they are ethnically cleansing Gaza and that they are annexing the entire West Bank. America now openly owns Israel's actions as its foreign policy. The quiet part, once unsaid, is now being said so often and so loudly that it is deafening. I have seen how mainstream media manipulates words to collude with those carrying out and funding genocide. Through censorship, the use of passive language and framing, I have seen how they use words to reinforce double standards, how they weaponize anti-Palestinian, anti-Muslim and anti-Arab propaganda to feed the outcome that they do not name, racism. Yet they remain shamelessly silent about the 210 journalists in Gaza who have been hunted down and killed for doing their job. I have been made aware of the inadequacy of words and their inability to describe the hellscape that is Gaza after 550 days of genocide. I can't count the number of times I have heard the sentence, "I don't know what to say anymore." I could quote to you the official number of people killed in Gaza, but the true terrifying number is not known because the systems for collecting that information have been destroyed. I can tell you that at least 20,000 children have been murdered. I can tell you that 40,000 children have had one or both of their parents killed. I can tell you that 6,000 children have had one or more limbs amputated, many without anaesthetic. But I can't describe to you the richness and complexity that was encapsulated in each life that Israel has taken. I cannot describe to you the life that would have been had it not been extinguished by a 2,000-pound bomb while it lay sleeping in a tent, let alone every life in every tent next to it. I cannot describe what the future will be like for a child who has been labelled with the acronym WCNSF, Wounded Child, No Surviving Family. In spite of all the damage that words or their absence have done, I have also seen how successful words have been in educating people and in opening hearts and minds to the truth about Palestine. Words spread along the grassroots, a flicker of hope as more and more people listen, talk, do not flinch away, make the effort to understand the occupation and what is really going on in the Middle East. I have heard many times people say, "But what can I do? I'm only one person." But look around. We are many. Our words have power only when we use them. If you feel afraid of what will happen if you speak out, then think instead of what will happen if you do not. The powerful cannot take our voices away, but they do not need to if we are silent. I leave you with the words of someone who has become very dear to me. Muhammad, a 25-year-old Palestinian from Gaza, who is still alive but has been robbed of his life. He said this on Friday, "I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here because my city is burning and silence feels like betrayal. This page is not a diary, it's a battlefield, and my words are my last weapon. From a tent in Gaza, I write what I see. The hunger, the dust, the fear, the stubborn hope. Free Palestine from the river to the sea."
And a lot of us are feeling pretty fed up with a government that has used weasel words to justify, you know, continuing to not sanction Israel as it commits a genocide. Shame. And for continuing, we know that Australia continues to be part of the supply chain for those weapons. But we also are looking at an election where we've got Dutton promising to be much worse and increase that military spending and increase the racism. And I think when you look at that, we've got to actually say, what's the solution? Look around right now. This is the solution. The solidarity of these communities, you know, people of so many different faiths and so many different backgrounds that stand here today. It's this movement and this solidarity that will break the chains, that will get Australia to sanction Israel, and that will free the refugees. We've got two more. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. And is the convener for Students for Palestine at Sydney. Great to have you, Jasmine. Free, free the refugees!
My name is Jasmine. I'm an activist with the Palestine Action Group and Students for Palestine. The news that Mahmoud Khalil has been, the court ruling has ruled that he can be deported from the United States for his political beliefs, shows that the arms of the state does not only oppress and threaten to deport refugees seeking safety, but also threatens to deport activists fighting against genocide and war. Shame. Mahmoud Khalil was the test case, but also has the treatment of refugees always been a case of how much repression our government is able to get away with? The fact that refugees are locked up with no trial, with no charge other than being a refugee seeking safety, and then they get sent to immigration detention on no charge. Shame. Currently, Trump's treatment of deporting immigrants to El Salvador, being chained, tortured, and separated from their families, the introduction of offshore detention is nothing new. This is something that Australia has pioneered. The Australian government has perfected the deportation and torture and stripping away of rights of refugees. There is something our government has to answer for why every fascist government, every far-right government sees the way that we treat refugees as a blueprint. Both the Liberal and Labor Party have been complicit and co-architects in the terrible treatment of refugees here. As Palestinian people are one of the largest refugee populations in the world, it shows how the fights for refugees and Palestine are connected. Palestine has shown that there is no limit to the brutality that the world is willing to endure. Our government will support and actively aid Israel. And if people have seen the revelation that Australia sends weapons to Israel that are manufactured here, yet our government, Albanese, has the gall to lie to the public about this revelation. Shame. They have actively aided the destruction of Gaza, the murdering of tens of thousands of Palestinians, the ethnic cleansing of Palestine. Australia has no small role in that. And in typical fashion, our government has denied over 2,000 Palestinian visas to seek refuge in Australia. Shame. Every single refugee deserves to live a life of safety, but as long as a world where Israel, the United States, and Australia continue to commit violence against people, we must continue to fight for the right to safety. Scares our rulers is our protest movement in which they are trying to repress. We have to keep fighting, touch one, touch all. We've always been fighting for the right for Palestinian refugees to return, and our struggle has not ended with the ceasefire that has been broken time and time again. Our government cannot continue to get away with abusing, with their human rights abuses, and with sending weapons to Israel. So Students for Palestine and the Palestine Action Group is organizing a rally in front of the leaders' debate this Wednesday. Both parties have a lot to answer to. They cannot get away with supporting Israel. They cannot get away with lying about sending arms to Israel. So you should be at that protest this Wednesday at Parramatta Square, where both Albo and Peter Dutton will be there debating as if they have not done anything wrong and as if they're not ignoring the key question in the world right now, which is the atrocious genocide being committed in Gaza.